Oh, you know, the way how I like to explain what I do is I make people cry. That's one of the it's one of the shocking ways, but it's the best way to describe it, because people come to me because they are not happy with something in their life. It could be one aspect or another. And then I make them cry, typically, because we figure out a lot about themselves and their past and their programming and all the rest. And then they cry again, because now they have the crying, because now they're crying because they're shifted, they move, they transform, they change. So basically, I just make people cry all day long.
So, but you take them from tears of sadness to tears of joy.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you know, Olga, you shared a post on LinkedIn the other day, which I thought kind of encapsulated what you're talking about. And the essence of it was, you know, the truth will set you free. But first, it'll make you angry, right? It's like, and not angry at others, angry at yourself, right? For not recognizing that truth, or not admitting that this is the truth of where I am, right?
Absolutely. This is so profound. And thank you so much, Bob, for bringing it up. I was thinking, which one post? There's so many. But it's so true. You know, amount of clients who actually are telling me, Olga, that is exactly what I needed to hear. Especially when I work with some high-flying people. You know, we're talking about organizations, you know, which are large, and they have CEOs, and they have managers, and they have leaders. And all of them, of course, are having people constantly rubbing their ego, right? People are constantly telling them how amazing they are, how fantastic they are, all celebrities. Everybody's always telling them how amazing they are. And then comes in Olga, and she tells the truth. And she tells them where the issues are coming from. And she tells them what exactly is happening in reality and why they are the way they are. And the gratitude there is beautiful, because it's like nobody ever told them the truth. And now they hear it and they're ready to embrace it. And I'm not there to, of course, you know, to abuse it. I'm not abusing my clients, but I'm just honestly sharing where the personalities are coming from and why they are the way they are. And apparently they love it. That's great.
Well, look, you know, there's a phrase which I think is a little bit overused, and I'm not sure if people necessarily mean this, but they talk about being brutally honest. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, you can be honest without being brutal, right? If people I've mentored over the years, I tell them, look, my style is I'm pleasantly blunt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm going to tell it to you in a nice way, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to beat you up. So, but everybody has their own style. So we're going to get a little bit more, talk a little bit more about that later, but Chad, if it's okay with you, I'm going to go over a purposeful creative thinking method that people watching can utilize to improve their career, improve their business, and that Olga and I are going to utilize to come up with some ideas for her business. So is that okay with you, Chad?
Sounds great. I will go ahead and give you to the stage for a little bit.
Great. Let me share my screen here, guys, and we'll go over some really cool stuff for you.
This is exciting.
So the creative thinking method that we're going to go over today is called Magnify. And what is the Magnify method? It's a method of stimulating creative thought that can help you discover new ways to position your current offerings. It can help you innovate and differentiate in a crowded marketplace so that you can win your everyday war you're fighting in business. And what Magnify is taking the whole or some part of your subject and greatly enhancing it or dramatically upping the scale. I'm going to give you some real world examples of this. People, at least in the US, have seen this truck that drives around the country. It's the Grown in Idaho campaign that has this gigantic potato, I assume it's not real, on the back of a flatbed semi-truck. So that is ridiculously large. There was a show that ran on a couple of different networks a few years ago called Man versus Food. And it was ridiculous amounts of food. So they dramatically upped the scale. Super glue, when it was invented back in the 1970s, dramatically magnified the strength of a glue. To celebrate the 40th anniversary of the launch of Natural Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, it was launched in 1977. In 2017, they came out with a 77-pack of Natural Light Beer. So it magnified the quantity. Gillette came out with a razor, so I think it was 1971, called the Track 2. Now, prior to that, every razor, including the safety razor that King C. Gillette had invented back in the early 1900s, had one blade. And so they doubled the blade, so they magnified the features. And FedEx magnified delivery speed. I mean, prior to that, it was pretty much you got it when you got it. So there's some questions that when we're doing a live training, virtual or in person, or I'm using these same things to develop strategies and ideas for clients, these are the questions that I use, and that you guys watching, wherever you're watching from, can use too, to consider what you might do in your business or career. So the questions are, can we provide or take more time? Could we make it stronger? Is making it higher a possibility? What if we made it longer? What could be exaggerated? What features could be overstated? How about greater frequency? If we add extra features, could that make our product service unique? What can add extra value? What could be magnified, made larger or extended? And how can something be taken to a dramatic extreme? And here's why you want to do this. You know, there's an old saying that build a better mousetrap and the world will be the path to your door. That is completely not true. If the world does not know about whatever you're offering out there in the marketplace, they will not be the path to your door. You will become unknown and out of business. So the only way for them to beat a path to your door is for them to be made aware of it. And when you do something in a way that is unique and unusual, people talk about it, right? And word of mouth is the best form of advertising. Always has been, always will be. But frankly, in the noisy world we live in today, it's the best form of advertising. So when you can do things in your business with your offerings to make things unique, different, better, people are going to talk about it. So with that, Olga, let me stop sharing my screen here. I'm going to talk about an idea, because you do this live stream with your collaborator called the Hot and Spicy. I think that's the title of it, the Hot and Spicy Conversations Show. Am I getting the title right?
That's right. Hot and Spicy Chat About Dating Relationships. Yes.
Okay. There you go. So the idea I had, since you're used to doing live streams, you're going to think I'm a little bit crazy when I say this, but there is a motorsport race called 24 Hours of Le Mans. Very famous, very prestigious, right? If you win that, you have worldwide notoriety. In fact, that was the subject of a movie I saw recently. I think it came out maybe 2017 or 18, called Ford versus Ferrari.
It was all
about them winning the 24 hours of Le Mans, right? And so sort of playing off that theme, what occurred to me, which would make your live streams very noteworthy, is to do a 24-hour live stream.
What? 24-hour live stream?
First of all, I don't think that you have to do the whole thing. I think what you should do is to find collaborators who would be willing, because listen, in the 24 hours of Le Mans, one driver does not drive all 24 hours, right? They have, I think, a team of drivers that switch off driving the car. So my idea is to get other people who own businesses or solopreneurs or whatever, who have an interesting message to share, that could share some of the time on the live stream with you, and you would broadcast 50 minutes out of every hour. You get 10 minutes an hour for a potty break. And I think, listen, just for the curiosity of people seeing the difference in what you look like in hour one versus what you look like in hour 24, I think just as a point of curiosity, so many people would tune in to see. You know, I had a mentor of mine that said, listen, you know, if you want to attract attention, set yourself on fire, and people, you'll gather a crowd to watch, right? And so that's my idea for you, is a 24 hours of Olga live stream. And like I said, you could have collaborators that, you know, they take an hour or two at a time, so you can get a cat nap and grab some coffee or an energy drink or whatever. But one thing for sure, that would get talked about.
Wow. Reminds me of the Jerry Lewis telethons, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how many people watching are remember those over Labor Day weekend when he did that for muscular dystrophy every single year, 24 hours.
Now, people in other parts of the world may not, but a lot of people, especially of a certain age in the U.S., definitely remember that. So anyway, Olga, what is your thought about that crazy idea?
I think you're crazy. That's what I think. I think you're so crazy. It's like, what? But I like it.
It's definitely unique and different, isn't it?
It is. I mean, yeah, 24 hours. I mean, I can't remember last time when I lasted for so long without the sleep, probably when I was a lot younger. But I'm still not that old, so I guess if not now, then when? That's my philosophy of life, right? If not now, then when?
Right, right, exactly.
You know, the funny thing too is you could time out what the segments are going to be for the full 24 hours, and like you could have the best stuff in like the middle of the night. Have people up in the middle of the night where you captivated their attention because they've got nothing else going on.
The spiciest stuff in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Middle of the night, where? But chat, but then it's like, where's the middle of the night? Because right now he is 5:15. For you guys, it's like what, midday or something? Like Australia is, they're fast asleep. They're just about to wake up soon. Right? So like middle of the night, it could be anywhere in the world, but could be every so often. And actually recently, the person from Mars and Venus, you know the Mars and Venus author, John Gray, they reached out to me saying, John Gray would love to come back to your show, because I did actually a live show during the COVID, and that was like 5 days a week. I had live show, and that was on different topics. There was authors, well-being, and relationships was on Friday. And he came to my show 3 times. People loved it. I mean, John Gray, he shares a lot of value. So I guess I can just have John Gray there for like 3 hours easily, sharing nonstop.
And think about, you know, how much content would be created over that simple 24-hour period that everybody that was involved could repurpose that content in so many different ways. And you could literally create so much value in just that 24-hour period that the ripples from that could go out for the next year.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, I tell people too. I mean, if you did it as a LinkedIn Live, it stays there forever. It can be seen, and people can look at parts of it at any point in time. I mean, talk about reach and long-term effect. You know, people will be talking about it for a long time. Oh, my gosh, this person did 24 hours of live. Holy cow. Imagine how many times they'd go back to it over the months and months and months to watch a different segment. Imagine the reach that would provide.
I wonder if somebody already did something like that. That would be my first question. Are you sure nobody did it so far? And are you sure somebody will not watch it now and tomorrow they will do 24 hours? That's another thing as well.
Well, I guess, you know, that's up to them and you to decide. But listen, it's an idea. It's different. It's definitely a Magnify idea. And I was pretty excited when I came up with it for you.
I love it. I seriously love it. I can't. Tomorrow I'm going to speak with Christina, let's see what you're going to tell about this, because, well, she's going to wake up in a couple of hours. So, well, I'll test her with surprise. But yeah, I love this idea. I really love this idea. What if you have an idea? I was thinking, my God, what did you come up with? When I heard it, I was like, oh my God, really? But the more I think about it, the more I like it, actually, because you're right. It is innovative. It is different. And yeah, it's something to remember.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know I'm not going to come up with a run-of-the-mill idea.
Yeah, you are so good with ideas. You're in charge. You're like walking idea-making machines. It's not like I have no clue how you do it, because typically people after the age of 20, their creativity drops massively. And then the longer we live, the less creativity we have left for us, because we just stop using the creativity muscles, if we would have those, just metaphorically using that. But you two, you are just like genius, like walking geniuses. This is how I look at you two.
Well, listen. Go ahead, Chad.
It goes back to the reason we shut down our creative processes. I'm not going to say they diminish. I'm going to say we actually turn them off, and we turn them off because of our experiences and our biases. And I think the one key thing is, you know, when you have a strategy, a method, a way of kind of confusing your mind and eliminating those biases, even for a short period of time, your creativity opens back up. It's like, oh, I don't have any rules again. I don't have any constraints. I'm not forced into this box of this is what it has to be. All of a sudden, your mind is set free. And it's amazing how even knowing that, hey, I'm going to trick my mind into doing this for a moment, it still works, because you get lost in the pattern of your method, and you start thinking out of the normal realms of what you would consider realistic. And all of a sudden, that's when true creativity happens. And that's why that process works so well. That's why purposeful creative thinking is such an amazing thing, because it gives so many different ways to shut off those biases.
And what it does is, the way I like to term it, is it sort of short circuits your autopilot, right? Because we're creatures of habit, and that includes our thinking. And so when you can short circuit that autopilot and turn it off, it's like, ooh, all of a sudden, especially Chad and Olga, if you're in an environment where it's a judgment-free zone, right? Like, there are no bad ideas unless one of the methods we're working with is coming up with bad ideas, right? But either way, it's a judgment-free zone. People have fun. They laugh their heads off. And when you're in an environment where it feels like fun instead of feeling like work, people are much more apt to participate actively in that, because when something feels like work, people tend to want to do less of it. When it feels like fun, they want to do more of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and bad ideas make the world go round. Most people don't realize that YouTube started off as a video dating site. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, I do not. It started out as a video dating site in 2004. By 2005, as it was failing miserably, the three founders, they were so desperate to get people to upload videos onto their site that they started offering $20 per video uploaded by users of the site. Just to get something going. And what they found out was they weren't specific in their request. They didn't say it had to be a dating or anything like that. So people started uploading crazy videos of their cats and other things and just whatever the hell they wanted to get the $20, and people loved it. All of a sudden, the three founders were like, wait a minute, we don't need a video dating site. We just need a video site where people can upload whatever the hell they want. And YouTube was born. Now, the funny thing about that is that literally less than a year later, by the end of 2005 or the beginning of 2006, right now I'm not remembering quite clearly, they sold that company for like $2 billion. And now YouTube is the world's largest video repository of what you'd call the human experience in the world.
Amazing.
So just a bad idea amazing. Became one of the largest things on the planet.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Right. But that goes back to what I always talk about too, and that's scale. You know, people don't understand that the way to use social media is to get scale. Now, it's not to get views. It's not to get followers. It's not to get likes. none of those vanity metrics. You know, and this isn't an influencer thing, but scale of your message, like you're talking about the 24 hours, imagine how many times people will go back and look at it or look at a segment they didn't watch before because they didn't have 24 hours to watch it the first time, but they're like, ooh, at this hour was something I really wanted to learn about. I can go back and, or hear about, I can go back and watch it. You know, and that's the effectiveness that people miss. They're afraid to get out there and put their message out there because in their mind, they're like, oh, if I put something out there bad, it lasts forever. Well, okay, maybe. But when you put something out there good, it lasts forever too. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to put stuff out there that we're like, ah, and we can try and delete it, but somehow, yeah, it'll always still be there. But as long as it's not harmful or mean or something along those lines, who cares? You're human. Everybody sees it go, oh, that one wasn't so good, but this other one was great. You know, that's all that matters. And I'm sure you find that. Tell me, I'm sure you find that with your show. You get some that get more engagement than others or some where people resonate than others. And talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. It's like everything. We usually say, don't judge a book by the cover. But we do. We do judge the movie by the title. We do judge the show by the title. And if we don't like the title, we might even watch it. We might watch it if we know the presenter and we really like them and we don't care what they're going to present because we like them, we're going to watch it. But if you don't know the presenter and you don't know the show, you will judge by the title. So you're spot on. Our show gets sometimes more views, sometimes less views. But the most amazing thing is when people reach out to us privately and when they share with us that they had some takeaways or they disagree with us. This is fantastic. We want people to disagree. We want to make them thinking. We want them to start switching on their own thinking muscles if we have them. But you know what I mean, right? We want really to spark the internal conversations within themselves. And what we love, mostly with Christina, we love speaking about taboo topics. We love bringing light to the topics that people don't like to discuss. People hate to discuss. People are afraid to discuss. People are ashamed to discuss. And if we don't talk about it, who will? Right. That's why I have no problem discussing anything when it comes to our Hot and Spicy show, because it is there to bring up the spiciness and to, you know, to reveal some hidden information or to talk about some taboo stuff that people are afraid to talk about. Especially sometimes when we're getting some comments like, oh, this is not for LinkedIn. Are you telling me people on LinkedIn are not humans? Are you telling me people on LinkedIn don't exist? Human emotions and reactions, they do. They're still human beings. So what do you mean it's not for LinkedIn? We're not doing anything sexual there, right? But still, people have different opinions, and that's okay. As always, talking before we're live, it's about respecting other people's opinions, but opening the window of possibility to explore what else is out there. What are the other opinions? What are the other options?
Yeah, I remember that. And even back in the early days when the internet was really first coming to be, you know, the mid-90s, late-90s, I was selling a lot of digital advertising, you know, online advertising, which was something that was really new and people didn't understand. And I remember I was talking to a restaurant chain, a large restaurant chain, and I won't call them out now because it doesn't matter anymore. But they were like, yeah, we're just not sure that your audience is right for us. And I'm like, we did a survey and the last time I checked, 100% of our viewers eat. We have your audience. I promise. Yes. They all, nobody breathes for a living. So we're good. We're good. It's amazing the craziness that people put in their minds over something that they don't do. And I find that a lot when I talk to organizations, where they're stuck in the traditional ways. And it because it's comfortable, they know it. Mm-hmm. But two, they realize that it's not working the way it used to. They realize that they're losing market share, they're losing ground, their sales aren't progressing. And I'm talking to them about these, you know, the new way that they should be doing it and how you have to earn the right to have a conversation. You can't cold call someone and have them pick up the phone and want to have a conversation with you. You haven't earned the right. They don't know why you're calling. They don't know what you're about. And they don't have any reason to speak with you. So you have to use, you know, social media. You have to use that ability to get your information out there, build trust. Like you said, even if they object with it, great. It starts a conversation. And that's what it's all about. And so Yeah, that's a really key factor. But I like that you brought that up. And I know I see it all the time. People say, oh, you know, I'll have it in the comments. People say, I don't know that I agree with you. I'm like, great. Tell me why. Let's talk about it. I'm excited to talk about why you think that's not right. You know, and I think that's the other fear people have, that they're going to get rejected. It's like, I hope you do. I hope you do. And you learn from it. You know, I mean, what that is that's feedback telling you what you need to change or what you need to address, you know, to make your business better, to make everything better. And everybody's so afraid to, quote unquote, fail and then have those learning experiences. And I mean, hey, we've been programmed ever since we were young. You don't want to fail. You don't want to get an F on a test. You don't want to not do good in sports. You don't want to not, you know, you don't want to look bad. All these things. Who cares about all of that? That goes back to what you were originally talking about with ego. Get over it. Be human. Make mistakes. And then own them and change and take that feedback and do things better and circle back. And I think that's a lot of where people misconceive how they need to move forward in this, in the modern world, our post-COVID world, whatever you want to call it, is that it's about relationships, it's about connection, it's about you have to earn the right to have that conversation with someone these days. So do you find that to be something you would agree with, that you earn the right to get people to follow you?
Absolutely. You know, that I always say, if people don't talk about you, that means you haven't done anything significant.
Exactly.
Right? It means you haven't achieved anything. And regularly, people reach out to me and say, okay, you know, I just heard so-and-so said such and such about you. I'm like, great. Tell them such. Give them more people. Great. Fantastic. They're like, well, aren't you worried about, you know, people think badly or whatever? I'm like, are they paying my bills? No. I mean, they will pay my bills. I probably will worry, but they're not. So why would I worry? But, you know, I think there is a certain group of people who got it right way. And some people will disagree with that, which is fine. I'm okay with that. I can take it. That's it. I have thick skin, believe me. But think about celebrities, right? What do they do whenever something hits in their lives, right? They make a big thing out of it. Why? Because they learn how to monetize that, right? So when it came to, in my life, to divorce, and why, when I announced publicly about my divorce, I had almost like two campuses against each other. One campus were my supporters. They were all with me. They were all, oh my God, we can't believe what happened to you. Like, poor thing. I'm like, no, why are you feeling sorry for me? Celebrate me. Don't feel sorry for me. Celebrate me, okay? And they were all with me. They were all like, you know, supporting me, calling me, texting me, emailing me, sending me whatever, knocking my doors and everything else. That was one campus. And second campus, there were people who were like, oh, are you nuts? Like, why would you talk so openly about your divorce? Like, why would you bring dirty laundry online? Why would you do all of that? And I was like, do you like it? Why did you read it?
Right.
If you don't like it, why do you follow me? But if you don't like it, why do you still keep breathing that, right? And they knew how many posts I did. And they knew what exactly I said. I was like, if you don't like it, why do you read it? Why do you keep watching the videos, right? This is my life. If you don't like it, unfollow me, block me, delete me. You have all the options on your fingertips. But you are curious. You know why you're curious? Because for you, that's drama. And that's exactly what people have within themselves and their system. Drama addictions. That's why TV shows, they got it right. That's why celebrities, they got it right. They bring drama to people and people follow. In fact, I even made it to Reddit. I mean, I had no clue what Reddit was until the day somebody reached out to me saying, did you know it's on Reddit? I'm like, what is Reddit? Apparently, people talk about other people some really bad stuff. I was like, really? Why people would do that? Well, basically, they have too much time in their hands. That's the answer. Apparently, somebody screenshotted the post of mine on LinkedIn where I say that I'm getting divorced and all that, and trust my intuition and all that. And somebody reached out to me saying, Olga, I'm so happy I came across that particular thread on Reddit. I bet everybody will start hitting it right now. But I'm so happy I came across that post on Reddit because then I connect with you on LinkedIn and now I learn about how amazing person you are. I'm like, that's the power of publicity. That is the power of publicity, right? It allows good people to find good stuff.
And I think, you know, the point is, when you're average, you're easy to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are different and unique, some people will love that. Some people will watch this and say, that 24-hour live stream is the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. And other people will say, hey, man, that's kind of freaking brilliant. And it really doesn't matter, right? The thing that you don't want to be is ignored, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in business, exactly. You can't afford to be ignored. And that's in right. Today's world, it's easy to ignore. So I think by putting yourself out there, yes, you're going to get some people that don't like it. And you get others that love it. But it really doesn't matter, right? As long as you're okay with either.
Yep. The most important thing is that your messages get scale, that you're getting out to a broad reach with every action. And that's the most important thing. And there's no such thing as bad press.
Yeah.
There just isn't. Because in any situation, you'll find that, you know, as many people think it's bad, there's just as many people think it's great.
Exactly. So, can you believe it's we're 32 minutes after the hour here?
I know. We've gone over second week in a row. We've gotten lost in the conversation and gone over. So thank you to anybody who's stayed tuned and given us a couple extra minutes for sure. My parting thought, I think pretty much I just gave it, is make sure that your efforts scale. Make sure that your efforts reach a broad audience, not just a single person. Because that's the only way to garner success in these days. So any final thoughts from either of the two of you before we sign off?
I have the date.
Nice.
I have the date. Did you know that in May will be 15 years since I came to the UK? You probably didn't know, which I appreciate. But yeah, on 26th of May will be 15 years since I landed in this country without English. Without English and no money. So I think then the 25th, 26th is the weekend in May where I could do 24 hours sprint of hot and spicy, chat about relationships and dating. That will be nice. Celebration of me spending here 15 years, giving to this country 15 years of my life, but also getting where I am because of this country and all that. So how about this?
And that gives That's you plenty awesome. Of time to, it gives you plenty of time to build anticipation for it.
You bet.
Ouch. Did you just sign up for something really ridiculous?
You did. You absolutely did. You committed to a worldwide audience potential.
And it's recorded on video now, so you can't get out of it.
That's Ouch. Right.
Ouch. What did you do, Chad and Bob? Honestly, I didn't know this was signing me up for.
You volunteered.
Wow.
Bob, what do you have for parting thoughts now that we've got Olga roped into a show we're going to have to listen, watch for 24 hours?
That's right. Listen, just be unique. Be yourself. If you need help in your business, you know, with coming up with insane ideas like the one I just came up with for Olga, reach out to me. We'll make sure that you stand out in a crowded marketplace.
You can find all of us on LinkedIn. Everybody have a great afternoon and a great rest of your week.
Good to be here. Thank you so much for having me.